Welcome to the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast. This is episode 146. I am joined by Adam Childs and I am Kieran Lefebvre.
Hello, what Kieran.
Yo.
What is up, my man? Not much. Fuck. It's recording at a slightly nicer time for me than last time. We have to...
Excellent.
We've got our schedules need to be aligned from Australia to Sweden, which sometimes... require some wacky recording hours, but today it's nice.
Whoa.
We live in wacky land. But yeah, I'm good, my man. It's a Wednesday here. It's been a good start to the week. But Kieran, I've called to tell you I'm quitting jiu-jitsu.
I knew it.
You knew it.
I knew
saw it in my face.
Yeah.
No. Today we're going to talk a little bit around the topic of quitting / retiring, moving on from jiu-jitsu, which neither myself nor, well, maybe Kieran is after, if anyone watching the video version looks at his face, might be like, yeah, it's not for you. For audio listeners, Kieran has
like,
a savage.
In my defense, my face was like this before I started jiu-jitsu, yeah. So.
Yeah. Kieran's nursing quite a hefty black eye at the moment for anyone just audio, listening to audio.
Guess how I got it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we haven't had this conversation, so do tell.
I was teaching Choi Bars, and when, I'm not even kidding, and if you didn't listen to the last episode, Adam did an awesome 50-minute deep dive on the Choi Bar position. Since then, I've been hunting them.
Sorry to interrupt, but I'm actually curious, like, before you go into the whole story, because Kieran and I finished that recording, and... it's a new recurring episode that we do where every 10 episodes, so 145, 55, 65, so on, Kieran and I are quite deliberate with our training. And so we work on a particular technique, position, whatever, for a 2-3 month block. In this case, it'll be a 10-week block because those episodes happen every 10 weeks. And then we kind of talk about where we were prior to, you know, 10 weeks of deliberate training on a position technique, and then where what we learned during that 10 weeks, where we are with it now and whatever. And so we did Choi Bars, and when we finished the recording, we kind of both said, fuck man, I think that was a sick episode, like, you know, turned into being this really cool detailed talk about the position. But I am curious if from a listener point of view, people are like, oh my God, that episode sucked so much dick. I hated it. I'm curious.
I mean,
I hope people enjoyed it, but I feel like it was, especially when I saw how you walked away from the episode with what will segue into your story, like super sort of like jacked at, you know, at the position and technique, and you're like, yeah, bro, man, I'm so psyched to like get in the gym and try Choi Bars, which is now in 1 week's time, you've gone from being like, what's a Choi Bar to teaching a Choi Bar, which resulted in a black eye. So how did this happen?
Correct. So I was doing some additional training because I train, do extra roles, like an open mat style, like positional stuff outside of regular classes with a few guys that are interested. And I was showing Choi Bars. I was like, hey, I've been working on this new entry that I've learned via audio like a few days ago. And so I didn't look them up. I didn't like look up any instructionals. I just based it purely on your audio description. And whilst I was listening to your audio description during the episode, I was watching Craig Jones demo it, but it was like following along with your description. And based on that, like I implemented it in the role and then decided to show some guys like to consolidate the learning. And I was showing this guy the Choi Bar entry.
Well, you actually you came to me straight after, like a day after, being like,
that night,
what was it? Yeah, saying like, what were you saying kept happening? You were getting flattened out or something like that. And I was ending up
in triangles. I was like,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I was ending up in like reverse triangles, and I figured out the reason, and I was naturally taking out my bottom hook.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was taking out my half guard hook. And if you don't know what we're talking about, listen to the episode, the Choi Bar episode. But yeah, I was letting my my half guard come out, and that was losing me the position and then letting me like climb up them and end up in like a weird triangle.
And we're also talking about I remember mentioning the importance of trying to like flip the wrist or like really focusing on getting that the wrist caught in your elbow pit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But anyway, you progressed or had success quite quickly. Then, you know, day later, you were like, right, chewy about everyone.
Yeah. Exactly. After like playing around with the position, just hunting for it, and then being like, oh, this is happening. I realized my mistakes very, very quickly. And then I taught the position, and then now I'm hitting it consistently. I'm even able to force it. I'm running into other issues now, but you know, that's a story for after. Anyway, back to the story about teaching. So I'm teaching this choy bar to the guy, and then he was demoing it on me. And then as he went to like flick his leg over the back of my head to enter into the choy bar, his foot
kicked
me right in the fucking eye, like just glancing blow right on the top, just fucking collected me. I think it was actually
His ankle bone. Probably
it was like his ankle. Yeah. Exactly. I think it was his ankle bone that just like the bone just collected my eye fucking socket, and I felt it straight away. I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah. Ouch.
And it swelled up, and now it's like all different colors and shit, and it gave me a headache. I don't like. Obviously, it's not a concussion or anything. I don't think. I'm not a doctor. But yeah, it's been giving me a headache. So, yeah, God damn it. Yeah.
That's funny.
It's funny though. I don't give a fuck.
Also, just make a little side note to kind of apologize to anyone who's watching the video. You'll notice that from episode to episode, like the lighting looks different. That's, you know, due to the fact that I don't have a fully set up like podcast studio or anything. And the fact that, you know, last episode was recorded at 10 p.m. at night for me. Now it's, you know, 3 p.m. in the afternoon. So the sun goes up and down or something like that. I don't know. But it changes.
Summary, Adam sucks.
Yeah. So lighting's a bit average on my end. So I do apologize. But back to the black eye. Does that make you feel like, man, maybe I should quit jiu-jitsu?
Definitely. I put my resignation in that day, actually.
I cancelled my membership. YouTube. Then the gym was like, Kieran, you haven't been paying for months. You owe us so much money.
And I was like, not my problem. I started working on a I quit jiu-jitsu YouTube video. I told my mom. Yeah, I'm just quitting.
Told your mom. Can I ask something? This is in very Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast fashion, completely off topic. Okay. Right? Let me ask you a question, because I had a semi-disagreement with someone today talking about this.
Okay.
So when I moved, I couldn't get Atlas, my son, into childcare, right? And so I had to go on some waiting lists for places. Anyway, I get an invoice today from a daycare that he never went to. And I was like, oh, what's this about? You know, and I call them. I'm like, you guys invoice me, you know, it was like $30, right? Like not a big amount of money. It was $30. But I was like, well, there must be a mistake here. I don't have a kid who goes to your childcare center. And they're like, oh no, but are you on the waiting list? And I'm like, I don't know. I can't remember. I inquired so many places, and they looked and like, yeah, your son's on the waiting list, you know? And I'm like, well, I don't remember anyone telling me that you had to pay a fee to be on a wait list. And they were like, yeah, it would have been on the website. And I'm like, yeah, well, probably in the finest print, you know, possible. Anyway, then I was having this discussion to a student, and I was like, it actually doesn't add up to me. I was like, why would you have to pay to be on a wait list? And she was like, oh yeah, well, you got to imagine that it's to cover their admin fees, because, you know, the admin of putting someone on the wait list, and then the admin of when a space becomes available, chasing up, you know, the first on the list, and then they don't want it the second, third, blah, 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 all this stuff. And I was like, but all they're doing is, I understand that admin takes work, but all they're doing is like, is drumming up business, right? Like imagine if a parent, and this has happened multiple times, where a parent has called me to inquire about jiu-jitsu classes for their kids, which has resulted in a 20-minute conversation, right? Because they have multiple questions and yada, yada, yada. And then I go, okay, well, you know, 20 minutes of my time is worth about $40. So that phone call costs you $40. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's like, no, if I want your business, like I have to do a certain amount of work for free. Like not every single minute of a business's operation is billable, you know? Yep. And it's like, I feel like them having people having a wait list, all they're doing is like minimizing the downtime of their business and maximizing their business's, you know, potential to make money. And this was a conversation, and it wasn't like a heated conversation, and it was a bit of a, I agree to disagree. But curious, what do you think?
I think that charging people money to be on a wait list is fucking so Sydney. It's so like Sydney childcare. Sydney, for those that don't know, and we won't spend much time on this, but Sydney childcare is insane. Like the demand is so high. The prices are ridiculous. It's not free in Australia. And I think it's a tactic to get rid of people that aren't as serious or aren't as interested. And it's just a way for the business to just to scrape every little bit of money that they can out of their potential customers. I think charging to be on a wait list is fucking insane. It's ridiculous.
That's what I thought.
I get what you're saying though about, you know, drumming up business. And I've had this not as often. It used to happen to me a lot more when I was less experienced, but being an online PT, sometimes I get people that are air quote interested and they want to ask questions, right? And then they get you on a video call, and then it turns into a free consultation. They spend like, you know, as much time as they can just asking questions, like question after question. That's not even about your product. It's about like their specific situation, wanting free advice. So yeah. I have a general rule now where I don't do consultations. I won't even like, unless, you know, someone is genuinely interested, I won't even get on a video call unless there is like something in writing or like they've already paid or, you have to do it.
But that's different to a parent calling me and asking multiple questions about, you know,
very different.
Yeah.
Very
how different. Classes work and what's the difference between this and that. And you know,
it's like
just
me charging someone for sending me a DM on Instagram or something like that.
Yeah, like, I mean, it just, yeah, it makes...
Crazy.
It makes no sense.
I think this whole thing is ridiculous.
My brain went there when the joke about your gym membership, and I was just curious as to your opinion because it only happened today. But anyway, YouTube video, quitting jiu-jitsu. Let's go. Mm.
Okay, so this actually, ironically, this episode I think maybe have been inspired by this video, or maybe you thought of the idea first and then it just so happened that I came across this video 4 weeks ago. There was a video that I'd say it went viral. It has nearly a million views at this stage. Does I think it? 600,000, well, not really nearly a million, but over 500k views, which is huge. And I think it's by a channel. My notes crashed during this recording, but it's a channel. I believe it's called Dorian Explains, and this guy does I think he does tutorials and videos around coding and how to, you know, make money from coding. And he also does a lot of like self-help and motivational videos as well. It's a bit of a jack of all trades. But this video is titled something along the lines of "Jiu-Jitsu Destroyed My Body." Change my life or destroy my body. I don't have my notes.
Do you want me?
Yeah, read out the title if you have it.
Well, I don't have it up, but it's exactly that. Yeah, jiu-jitsu saves my life, but destroys my body.
Yeah, and I mean, the video is about 20 minutes long, but the guy very, very good at making videos. Sorry to cut you off,
but yeah, while I've got it up, it's Dorian Develops.
Dorian.
Yeah.
Dorian Develops. Okay, my notes are back up. So yeah, it's Dorian Develops, Jiu-Jitsu Save My Life But Destroy My Body, My BJJ Journey. And not to ruin the video, spoil the video, definitely watch it. It's great. It's very interesting. But he's been training for about 10 years. He's a purple belt. Over that 10 years, hasn't been super consistent. He did take a few year break, but he has been training consistently now for about a year or so at a new gym. And, you know, in that time, a lot has changed in his life. He's become a father. He's got other commitments now, and he's obviously gotten a bit older, and he's experienced different injuries, which I believe have required surgery throughout that time. And, he's very concerned about injuries. Now, in the video, he doesn't like state explicitly, "I am quitting jiu-jitsu," but he definitely alludes to the fact that Jiu-jitsu is... Go on.
He says something along the lines of, like, he feels like he's one injury away from quitting. From being done. Yeah.
And he, so basically the whole crux of the video is, hey, I've been training jiu-jitsu for 10 years, you know, so he's not like a white belt, one and done sort of deal. I've been training for 10 years. I love it. I've, you know, it's come in and out of my life. It's served an important part of my life. It's done this, and this for me. However, at this point, I feel like where I am in my life, I can't afford the injuries, and the injuries are too prolific. It's taking too much of a toll on my body. It's time for me to maybe move on. And he does say something along the lines of, like, if I was to leave jiu-jitsu now, I wouldn't, I would be happy with my journey. I think putting it in different words. I'm happy with my, so he's not leaving in animosity. He's leaving, you know, with the love of the sport, but for the requirement of his body. And we wanted to take this apart because Adam and I know, like, we haven't actually shared notes on this. We explicitly didn't. But we're probably going to have different opinions.
I'm guessing we're going to have different opinions. Like Kieran said, we usually share some notes before recording, but on this one we didn't, just because it's the way the conversation kind of progressed. I was like, I think we're kind of going to semi-disagree on certain points, so let's not share notes as to not already give away each other's counterpoints. But but yeah, let's start with your, what are your thoughts on it?
First of all, watch the video.
I was give him a like and subscribe in a comment.
Definitely.
So I was gonna say, first of all, the video is great. Like, the dude says nothing bad. Like, it's just an individual sharing
his story and his
experience with jiu-jitsu. Doesn't say like jiu-jitsu's bad for your body and you shouldn't do it. Like, doesn't say anything like that. He's just a person just sharing his journey.
It's just one of the boys.
Which is just a lad. Yeah.
Just a lad. So I really like the video, and I think I am planning to do an actual YouTube video in response to it. I just need to get permission to use some footage. So I've reached out to Dorian. I haven't heard back from him yet. But anyway, I haven't had the opportunity to really consolidate all of my thoughts and pick apart the video and draw out counterpoints. But you could probably tell by, you know, the way I'm approaching this is I think it's not that I disagree with him, because it's his, like you said, it's his personal journey. How can you disagree with someone's personal journey? That makes you ignorant, right? But I think that there is a lot that Dorian could be doing or could have done from the beginning to not get into this position where jiu-jitsu is the point for him where it's taking a toll. Now, it's not just injury risk that he was talking about. It's the fatigue that is being placed on his body that he also mentions. Like, from his week-to-week training, the amount of fatigue and his ability to bounce back and recover is not what it used to be. Therefore, he's like, fuck, I don't know if I can keep doing this. I feel like if I maintain this pace, which is just regular training, then I'm going to get injured. So my counterpoint to that is, and I'm probably going to just show all my hands in one go, is that, or my cards in my hand, rather, whatever the fucking saying is. So here is my point. Jiu-jitsu for a lot of people is a way to get fit. It is a way to do some form of sport, activity, community, etc. But for a lot of people, they find jiu-jitsu and they're like, hey, I don't like lifting weights. I don't like doing cardio. I don't like whatever. This is an awesome way where I can learn a skill, be a part of a martial art, you know, build confidence and all the other goodness that comes with jiu-jitsu, be part of community, and at the same time, get fit. That, in my opinion, is great if that is how you find jiu-jitsu. But you quickly realize that that is not actually the reality. It's kind of like people... In my experience, I can draw from past experience. I used to be in the Navy, and to me, I can draw the analogy where people think, civilians think, that if they join the Navy or the Army or whatever, then they'll get fit. You won't. You get fit during basic training. But after that, you know, there's so many overweight people in the Australian Defence Force. So many. It's a joke, right? Like, not disproportionately more than the rest of the population, but it doesn't force you to get fit, right? Yes, you have to pass a basic fitness test, but it's a joke. Like, the point I'm trying to make is, if jiu-jitsu is your only avenue of fitness, you will reach a point, like Dorian has discovered, where you cannot keep up, because jiu-jitsu is a full contact combat sport. It requires so much from your body, but it does give you so much more back, and we're going to talk about that, but it is in unto itself. I do not believe that in isolation, it is a sufficient form of exercise and that's it. In my opinion, if you want to train jiu-jitsu consistently with longevity in mind, and you want to stay on the mats for as long as possible and not have to worry about the fatigue and getting injured in like basic positions and your body not moving anymore and everything hurts and, you know, all of that shit, you need to look after your body off the mats. You need to dedicate some time to train and condition your body for this sport that you love. It is not enough to just say, I'm going to train jiu-jitsu and it's going to sort out all my problems. Like, you need to prepare your body for your sport. It's as simple as that. That is the reality of jiu-jitsu for the vast majority of people.
So I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, but I think there's a disconnect between how do I put it? Like, it's a bit of a, it's, you know, it's one of those, you know, how sometimes something might be explained or shown in a certain way and you're like, yeah, everything there is factual and correct, but that's not really how it works. So I'm kind of flipping that, how you're saying that, you know, people get into jiu-jitsu for this and that, but that's not really how it is, which is correct. But this whole, you know, you need to look after your body like on and off the mats and do, you know, this and that and whatever, that is correct, but it's also not the way it works. And what I mean by that is, you know, he's not a, and if you watch the video, people would know this. This isn't Gordon Ryan saying this or someone, this isn't like a professional athlete who doesn't look after their body and this is happening. Like, this is just someone who trains jiu-jitsu, has done some competitions, so, like, you know, is from no reason to doubt him, seems like a proficient, competent jiu-jitsu practitioner and whatever at a good level. But for someone like him, who the reason he stopped was because he had kids and life stuff, take someone who works your typical 40-hour work week, and then throw in a couple of weeks and then date night with the wife and whatever other stuff they have going on in their life, how much time do they have to go do their hobby, which essentially what jiu-jitsu is for these people? Maybe 2-3 times a week max, right, for the average person. And that's what the data shows internationally, that the average person trains 2.5 times a week. So 2 to 3 times a week is what the average person trains. You know, so for a lot of these people who, like you said, if someone said to them from day one, well, in order to do this sport at any level, you also have to do some, you know, strength and mobility and whatever stuff outside the mats. And they're going to be like, well, I've only got 2 days a week where, you know, I don't have to put the kids to bed because I've got, you know, like whatever. You know, Monday, Tuesday, my wife does it. Wednesday, Thursday, I do it, you know, and then Friday's date. I've only got 2 nights a week I can go. And then you're telling me like, okay, I've got 2 days I can train and one of them has to be strength and mobility, which is shit that I hate doing. Like, why would I even start the sport? You know, like, I think, you know, I think outside of someone pursuing it at a, doesn't even have to be a professional level, but someone's just pursuing it as in like, no, I want to get really good and do competitions. And, you know, maybe I'd like to teach. If someone's pursuing it more than just a weekend warrior, so to speak, I guess then you can kind of play that card or have that conversation of you need to be doing stuff outside of training. But I think the reality for the average person is that's just not how life works, especially as you get older. You know, like if you watch Dorian's video, you know, I think he's 40 or something like that, or late 30s or something.
Well, I mean,
he's old enough that he's got a wife and two kids and has a job and all this sort of stuff. Like, I think that's where there's the bit of the disconnect, because while I don't disagree with what you're saying, like, it's a hard sell. Like I said, imagine you get a trial student coming in, and man, I've had a gym open now for 5 years, and I could probably count on one hand the amount of students who have come in, and from day one, they're in on the mats 5 days a week, twice a day or whatever. Like, you're one of those five. You know, they're typically, even after they get past that initial sort of, ooh, I'm sore from that first session, even once they're in the groove, they're a couple of times a week, man, you know, like, and so I just think realistically, the average person who does it, the time that they have free is the time that they do jiu-jitsu. And yes, would be great if they could do extra stuff, but they don't have time. So does that mean then they're not allowed to train jiu-jitsu, or train at your own risk? Like, this is just what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I have in my notes, I have Adam's common excuses. Number one, I don't have time. I knew this is the excuse.
Is anything I said wrong?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes. Nah. I agree. And you can't just say no without hearing my points. I have been a online personal trainer coach for many, many years. I have heard the I don't have time excuse from every walk of life for everything. Take people that don't train at all and want to get fit. Their biggest excuse is I don't have time. Right? Now, the same people, years later, they would discover jiu-jitsu and be like, oh, fuck yeah, I love jiu-jitsu. I can make time 2 nights a week, like you put, which is what the average person trains. All of a sudden, magically, because they love doing it, all this time has magically appeared. Ooh, I wonder how. Right? You're saying that people have families, jobs, commitments, hobbies. I totally appreciate that. Now, change the term I don't have time to it's not a priority.
I knew this as soon as you came with the counter to I don't have time.
Let me ask you a question. How many of these people that air quote don't have time, how many of them watch television?
Yeah, I know that.
Exactly.
I know
your response to it, because I've heard it from a million people. It's, oh yeah, but what, you expect me to be a robot and not live my life? Well, I don't expect that. I expect you to be honest about your situation. Look at what you're doing day to day in your life and be fucking honest for once. You're telling me that 2 days a week, you can't get up 30 to 45 minutes earlier and do a quick mobility or workout. And everyone can do that, that listens to this. No one that listening to this is fucking Elon Musk, all right? And everyone can do that. Everyone has time. The reason that you don't want to do it is because it's hard and you don't want to. Be honest with yourselves. It's not about the time. It's never about the time.
Yeah.
Is it easy? No. Is it easy to say, oh, I don't have time for that? Yes, it's very easy. And I've been a victim to that, even in my life, and I don't even have kids yet. Like, I just do not agree with the I don't have time thing, because I've never met anyone that's working an 80-hour week, that also volunteers at the homeless shelter, that, you know, has 7 kids and 1 leg. You know, I've never met that person. Everyone has time. Like, it's not a priority. You need to sacrifice other areas of your life, and that's not what you're willing to do for your hobby or your sport, and that's okay. But you need to live in the reality of that world.
Yeah, I actually, like, I think that, again, like, nothing you're saying is incorrect, but I think that counter argument is just so fucking, like, Tony Robbins motivational speaker. And again, like, that would, I would nail that. I would write that on a bit of paper and nail it to the forehead of the student who I've got who wants to go win worlds, right? But that's not who we're talking about. And yeah, let's not say I don't have time. Let's just say I'm not motivated or it's not enough of a priority for me. That's fine too, right? Because like I said, they might go, well, you can go suck a fat one if doing mobility is what I have to do over sitting down and having breakfast with my family. It's not important enough for me to sack because I have to sacrifice something, right? And so whether it's they don't have time or whether you want to label it like I don't care enough or it's not a priority enough or I'm not motivated enough or I'm not driven enough, I'm not disciplined enough, whatever reality check word you want to put in there, it's, you know, yeah, we're not talking about the dude who is trying to win worlds. So then are you also sitting there and saying, unless you're willing to do that, don't even train jiu-jitsu. It's not for you.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. And I also don't like to put labels on people. It's not that, you know, you're not disciplined enough, you're not enough. It's got absolutely nothing to do with that. And I would also say that generally speaking, people in general should be doing strength training and some form of cardio for as long as they possibly can for their own personal health and longevity. It would help you as an individual. And you say, okay, I don't have time or it's not a priority. Well, if your health isn't a priority in your life, then I would seriously sit down and question why. You know, and
yeah, but
and
I mean, there's so many different people in the world, and for some people it's not right. Like for some people this would literally, I mean, when we talk about working out, like whenever we're talking about conditioning and, you know, whatever mobility, whatever sort of all that, those workouts, what's the same bloody cheesy tagline, not tagline,
the best workout you do, the best workout there is the one that you're going to do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Mm. So for a lot of people, they would be living in these two extremes of like, I either do jiu-jitsu or I do zero exercise. Right. And I'm not too far off that extreme. You know, I actually personally fucking hate exercising.
Yes.
I'm just quite, for me and for my like longevity in terms of like a human, like I'm just quite fortunate that the thing that I enjoy to do happens to be a type of sport. You know, and I always explain it to new students. It's like people who surf casually, right? No one who surfs casually is like, oh, I got to go for a surf and get fit. No, people do it because it's heaps of fun and it happens to also be a type of exercise. And that's for me with jiu-jitsu. I don't think of jiu-jitsu as exercise, even though of course it is, right? And so for a lot of people, they would fall in that camp where it's like, well, it's either, you know, for me and, you know, whatever it is, my level of mental health, my level of depression, and it's easy to sit there and be like, you've got to do this and you've got to make time and you've got to do that. Well, if everyone could do that, everyone would be achieving goals like Gordon Ryan is and making money like Bill Gates is. Like, not everyone has it. Well, not everyone has it in them, bro. Like,
I think that if you're saying that, like, hey, I don't have it in me, or not everyone has it in me, you're placing limitations on yourself and throwing those limitations out to the wind. And if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. That's obviously not my quote.
Yeah,
but I love it, because if you say, oh, I can't do this because I'm not motivated, I'm not trying to win world. Like, again, The amount of training that Gordon Ryan is doing with jiu-jitsu, he can get away with doing a lot less strength and conditioning. It's ironic that someone that's doing less probably needs to do more strength and conditioning than Gordon Ryan, because he's spending two times a day on the mats as it is. He's going to maintain a lot of his strength and protective value from his work off the mats just by how much he's actually training. So I think that the common excuse of time just does not fucking fly. I'm sure there are people out there that literally don't have time. They can show me their schedule and they're actually honest. And I'm like, well, fuck, man. Like, yeah, you win. But those are, I would say, less than 1 in 10.
No, yeah, they are far and few between. Because I actually had this conversation to a student the other day who's about to have a kid and has just been a bit, you know, behind with getting to the gym. And I said, man, anyone who says they can't find like 2 hours a week is full of shit, right? You can mm-hmm. you can find the time. But again, yep. we're talking about him making the time to do the activity that he's, you know, spiraling into depression about not having time to do, right? Like it's something that he's desperate to go back to. It's not a conditional accessory that he has to do in order for him to do that sport.
Well, that's the mentality, you know, shift that needs to change, man. I don't want to put limitations.
I'm just trying to put a reality, because like, are you then sitting there and telling me that like every single individual, ignoring physical limitations in terms of like course. A disability or something like that, are you telling me that every single human in the world has the capability to live the lifestyle of David Goggins?
Why are you putting it into the extremes, though? You're saying, does every single person have the capability to live at this extreme? You're taking two ends of the spectrum to try and prove a point, and that's a scarecrow fallacy. You're like saying, yeah, but I can't be David Goggins, so therefore I can't work out for 45 minutes a week. It's fucking ridiculous. No one's saying you need to be David Goggins, and no one's saying that everyone needs to do it. What we're saying is if you are training jiu-jitsu and you are worried about injuries, if your body isn't recovering anymore, if your body isn't keeping up on the mats anymore, and you're like, fuck, I love jiu-jitsu, I've been training it for 10 years, but I cannot keep up anymore because of the fatigue and the injury risk. The solution to that is to do one strength and conditioning session per week and maybe consider doing some mobility, or maybe combine them, like one a week. One a week would help you vastly. That's a big fucking difference from running marathons at David Goggins level for everyone and just doing one 45-minute workout. One. Like, yeah, but it's ridiculous.
But that extreme also whittles down to the middle ground. Like at the same,
no, it
at
doesn't.
The same, yes, it does, bro. At the same way that, you know, next to no one has the mental capacity and even if they had a copy-paste body of David Goggins, not everyone has the mental capacity to do what he does, or not everyone can do what Matt Fraser does or whatever. Like not everyone is capable of those things. They don't have the drive. They don't have everything that needs to go into it. Mm. And, you know, there are few people that have that at that level, right? But, you know, there's like a wider net cast of people that just... that fall in the middle. So I feel like there's just as many people when we're talking about something as mediocre as adding one or two extra workouts. I feel like there's just as many people who could do it and just as many people who couldn't.
I disagree. If you can train jiu-jitsu, you can add an additional session in. I don't see this like mental barrier where it's like, hey, I already train. I already do an exercise that I love, that in jiu-jitsu, that I find, you know, great, 2 hours a week. Those people that are capable of training jiu-jitsu are the same people that are capable of adding one protective session in per week that is going to help them to be able to do what they love forever. I don't see your point how it's like, hey, not everyone can do it. I get that. Not everyone can. But the people that are training jiu-jitsu are the same people that are capable of doing what we're talking about.
Perhaps they're capable, but I would, I mean, my hundreds at this stage, thousands of students that have come through me, I would say that the data shows that more, you know, more than 90% of those people, perhaps they're capable, but they're not willing.
Exactly.
Right. And you know, and I don't think that then means that, you know, they just need, oh, you're not willing to add that to your schedule or whatever. All right. Well, buckle in, bro. You're prone to multiple injuries and this debilitating jiu-jitsu journey. I don't think that's how it works. You know?
Well, look, what I'll say to that point is 90% of people that train, that start jiu-jitsu, don't make it to black belt more, right? So, and we've
I would
spoken
be
about-
interested. No, that's true, but I would be interested to see if that's because 80% of them quit because of injuries. I'm not sure.
Could be. Could be a combination between like some of the points that we've spoken about before in episodes like The Reality of Jiu-Jitsu. We recently did a part two, by the way. But I think that, yes, I agree with you that more than 90% of people that start jiu-jitsu, initially when they start, unwilling to do the work off the mats to keep them safe. But a lot of those people, when they get bitten by the bug and they're like, hey, I fucking love jiu-jitsu, I want to do it forever, those same people are probably willing to do exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe they just are unaware. They don't know the significance. They don't know the relevance. They underestimate the relevance, significance, and impact it will have. And maybe they allow their limitations to get in the way. Like, oh, I don't have time. I don't like it. I can be fucked and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and I think to come back to the original point of a response to Dorian and him saying like, hey, my body can't handle it anymore. I left a comment, but he didn't reply. It was along the lines of, hey, like, what do you do outside the gym? Like, are you actually doing any training to support this? Because the whole point is he dedicated all that time to spend a 20-minute video talking about his jiu-jitsu journey and saying like he loves it. He wants to keep doing it, but he cannot because of his body can't keep up. And then my response is, have you tried adding in strength and conditioning mobility to improve your longevity on the mats? And I mean, if someone loves jiu-jitsu that much and is willing to dedicate 10 years of their life to this sport, but then not willing to dedicate 45 to 60 minutes per week to be able to do it, that logic to me in my mind is just, it doesn't make sense. It just falls off a cliff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think I don't necessarily disagree with the things you're saying, but I think you're just also sitting on a particular extreme, like, side of, like, you know, the headspace of the person who trains jiu-jitsu. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like I'll give you another example. What about, like, you know, let's say, and yeah, firstly, I 100% agree as well. Like, of course, if anything, it doesn't even have to be jiu-jitsu. It could be fucking tennis. Like, if you want to do any physical, not even physical activity, if you want to live longer and healthily and be mobile and be able to get down on the ground and play with your grandkids and stand back up without needing a walking stick or whatever, you know, you want to be fit, healthy, strength, conditioning, mobility, cardio, whatever. Mm-hmm. Jiu-jitsu is obviously incredibly physically demanding that it typically requires a little bit more TLC. But... Mm-hmm. Let me change this a little bit and turn it into a game, right? Let's say jiu-jitsu is often referred to as a physical game of chess. Okay. What if you were getting really frustrated because you weren't able to break through this particular chess ranking that you wanted, right? And you want to progress and get better at chess the same way that anyone who trains jiu-jitsu more than six, anyone who sticks with it, in little air quotes, wants to see progression, right? That's one of the things we love about jiu-jitsu. That's not just like, learn this 100 set techniques and there's your black belt and there's nothing else you need to learn, right? It's never ending. It's like medicine or law. It's constantly changing, evolving. You're constantly being educated. So people who stick with it want to constantly see progression. So let's imagine you're stuck at a particular, you know, chess ranking that you can't break through. And, you know, someone comes to you and say, man, you got to do these chess puzzles and you got to do these chess drills. I want you to add an extra hour into your week of chess training or whatever it is. And you might go like, man, like I'm not interested in that. Like, yes, like, could I make the time? Yeah, but I'm not willing, man. I just like to play chess a few times a week for a bit of fun because I enjoy it. And it's fun and I like the game chess. And yeah, of course I want to progress and get better, but I'm not willing in doing that, you know? And I think a lot of people go to jiu-jitsu with that. Like, it's this activity and hobby and they want to see progression and stuff, but it's also just something they do for fun. And, you know, if all of a sudden it's like you're hit with this almost gatekeeping, you want to keep doing this, you want to get better, fucking sign up and subscribe to this and you got to do this. Otherwise, no. Like, next exit left. Like, I think
I want to change that analogy and fit it into what we're actually talking about. Same thing. We use chess, except for some reason, you play chess, you love chess, you want to get better at chess, but then for some reason, you can't play it anymore. Like, you're unable, like, you physically cannot play it anymore. And you're like, fuck, I really love chess, but now I can't play it. And then I come to you and say, hey, if you spend 30 minutes a week on a chess puzzle, then you can play it magically. Then it's like, oh, okay, am I willing to spend 30 minutes a week on the chess puzzles so that I can continue doing what I love? Or am I unable to do it? Like, particularly because we're talking about, like, why people quit because of physical issues, and specifically we're using Dorian as a case study. We're not talking about people that want to progress and are getting frustrated that they want to progress but aren't willing to invest the extra time required to progress. Like, those aren't the people that we're necessarily talking about, and everything you're saying is 100% correct. But we're talking about the people that are at this crossroads where they're like, I love jiu-jitsu. Again, 10 years in the sport. One direction is I quit jiu-jitsu because my body can't keep up. Or the other direction is I add 1 hour per week into doing outside activities so I can keep doing what I love. And I'm not telling people that it's easy to choose to add an hour a week. I'm not telling people that, you know, that is the case for everyone. For some people, like, hey, maybe you've made that decision. You've weighed the pros and cons and you decided not to. Well, then you quit jiu-jitsu. And then it's like, okay, cool. You quit. I can't help you. But if... You cannot just keep going and saying, oh, I'm training jiu-jitsu and there's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's just the nature of the sport. We're going to get injured and then I'll do it until I can't anymore and then that's it. It's just, I don't agree with that approach. But in saying that, I agree with what you're saying, but I think you're conflating, like, getting better at the sport, which everything you said was 100% true, and doing enough to be able to actually just do the sport.
I actually don't think you have to do anything to be able to do the sport safely, to be honest. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, additional, you know, training and exercises won't help you and won't make you better. You know, I think the opposite of that. But I actually, you know, so to then sort of change the direction of the conversation, I actually personally don't think you don't have to do anything to continue and have a long, prosperous, you know, jiu-jitsu journey or jiu-jitsu career or whatever. Again, different if we're talking about professionals, because by the time, I mean, God, look at Nicky Ryan already. Like, by the time, like, you know, mid-20s and their bodies are destroyed. And that's for a lot of professional sports. I always refer to, when you look at punishment to a body, like what ballet does to ballerinas, right? Like, yeah. So of course, I'm not talking about professionals because they'll spend the rest of their life doing physio and, you know, foam rolling and trigger balls and whatever, just to be able to get out of bed. Okay. So they're not the people I'm talking about. But if I look at Dorian, the way that I interpret that story is not so much that jiu-jitsu is absurdly punishing to the body, which it is, but I think in terms of not even a full contact combat sport, I think in terms of a full contact sport, it's like relatively risk-free in comparatively, and I think the injuries are way less severe. And as an instructor in Australia, I can tell you that every single student I've had come in who has come from rugby has got way more severe injuries and punishment to their body, even in their early 20s, man. People from come rugby, in yeah. like, yeah, 100%. Like, it's incredibly brutal on the body, right? And I think that in Dorian's case, the way that I interpret that situation is, again, moving away from the whole, are you doing stuff off the mats or whatever? Let's imagine he is, for argument's sake, doing some strength and mobility stuff, right?
Mm.
I think that it's perhaps a bit of a, he's perhaps having a realization at the moment of, you're not 20 anymore, bro. And I think people struggle with that, especially when they're not yeah. someone who has already, in little air quotes, peaked. You know, so he's a purple belt, so he's obviously still comparing himself to, like, you know, got to be ahead of the Blues, you know, want to show I'm better than the current Purples, that I'm catching the Browns, because, you know, still on this sort of progression train of needing to compare yourself sort of thing. He's not someone who was like, you know, oh, I'm already an 8-time world champion, so the only logical reason for getting hurt more and losing more and whatever is that I'm getting older, right? Like, I think the logical part of that sort of, you know, I don't think those two things are connecting. And yeah, like imagine being in your mid-40s and thinking you could tackle and take tackles like you could in your 20s in rugby league against 20-year-olds. Like, bro, like your shoulders would be dislocated. Like you'd be destroyed, man. Mm. Like absolutely destroyed. Like I said, I've had, you remember Big Ben from the gym, Ben Zlatner? He was there before you left, right? Dude, like his shoulder, he's like 19 and his shoulders, he's had like 12 shoulder surgeries or something, all from rugby, right? Like the dude's, you know, as a teenager, you know, a young adult. So I think this may not be Dorian's case, but I think a lot of people in general in jiu-jitsu have a disconnect there. If they're not already kind of, again, air quotes, peaked, like if they got their black belt when they were 30 or something, you know, they're kind of like, you know, like, oh man, like I got nothing more to prove. I did my time. Like, you know, it's a very logical connection that it's like age is starting to catch up. Right. But when you're still a blue belt, purple belt, and you still, you know, like kind of hungry in that way and expecting, you know, tangible results, it's hard to sort of accept that it's like, well, man, like you can't train twice a day, 4 times a week anymore. Like, you know, you could, right, if you were doing all the other stuff. But again, we're just talking about the average weekend warrior. And I think a lot of people struggle with that of like, well, man, yeah, maybe the, you know, it is quite a taxing sport on the body. It's even more taxing if you're not doing conditional training outside. You know, man, you're not 25 anymore. Like you're 48 now. Like, you know, like, man, the body starts breaking as you get older without jiu-jitsu. It does it anyway. So like when you add jiu-jitsu there, of course, like, and yeah, and you would reach a point where it wouldn't matter how much rehab and strength and conditioning you'll do that the shit's going to break. But I think, yeah, again, just moving the conversation away from doing complementary stuff, I think that's a different factor that plays into people's sort of jiu-jitsu hurts too much and I'm getting injured all the time and like this. It's like, boy, because I've seen it all the time. Dude, you're still trying to, like, I see it in our gym, like 50-year-olds getting upset because the 19-year-old who's sweating testosterone is like ragdolling them. And you're like, bro, like, I mean, like, you know, you're a blue belt and he's a white belt. That's not a huge difference. You shouldn't be by default beating the dude who's 30 years younger than you. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, okay, of course, Gordon Ryan would probably, he could be in his 80s and still beat people, but you're talking about like the absolute greatest of all time or whatever. And I think a lot of people, that's their reason for kind of throwing in the towel, is that they kind of expect a bit too much from their body, regardless of how much additional training they do. They're not like tuned into the reality of like, man, it is really rough on the body, you know? Again, I think not as rough as some sports, but it is rough on the body. And like you've got to take that into consideration when you think about what the way you expect to train and what you expect your body to be able to do.
I could not agree with you more. Like I agree with everything you said. And to further your point of rugby, how many 45 plus rugby teams do you see?
Yeah, fucking I don't none. Know what the... Yeah, fucking well, none, yeah, bro. I know, yeah.
Like, and
I
actually have don't, you ever don't... seen rugby world championship at masters level? No, yeah. It doesn't exist, man. Like, there are no 50-year-olds playing full contact fucking rugby. I mean, maybe there are. Good job. But there's not many. The yeah, sub like line actually, must be like 50 subs to like come in when someone dislocates a fucking, pops a shoulder.
Yeah, I actually don't know what the average age of a rugby player is, but I'm sure like there would all... 20? There would always be, yeah, there would younger. Always be a few, right? There's always a few that slip through the cracks.
I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are, but it's not a reflection of society or the population, right? And I totally agree. And I actually, I'm not going to name any names, but ironically, I think on Monday, I was sitting down after, like, in between rounds or whatever with someone, and they said to me something along the lines of that they're getting old. Literally what you're saying. They literally said to me that they are getting old and they're having a hard time dealing with that reality. Like, they're having a hard time accepting the fact that they are getting old and their body isn't performing. And this is someone that has been training a form of martial arts for like 20 years. 20 years they've been doing like stand-up, jiu-jitsu, grappling, all the rest of it. And they literally, even that person is having a hard time, you know, managing what you're talking about. And yes, if that is the case, then it's not what we're talking, like, it's not the original point of what we're talking about. Yes, it's the point of why people quit, but the original point of, hey, let's look at Dorian's case study. He's, you know, his body isn't holding up to the scrutiny anymore. You know, here are some solutions. But if you're in a similar position, but your main reason is I can't keep up, like, skill-based, and I can't keep up competitively anymore, then that is a completely different issue.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't think the average student as a whole has this, like, you know, big picture view, right?
Yeah.
When they're just feeling that sort of emotional depression or that physical pain of an injury or whatever, they don't. I mean, and even sometimes when you logically know the answer, or you logically can see the big picture, that doesn't also equal, like, emotional pain disappearing or sadness disappearing, right? Like, you can know the right answer and why things are happening, but doesn't necessarily make you feel any better.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't think the average person has this big picture view of it. And I mean, but yeah, I think it's even more pronounced with people who do it professionally because, you know, they have this level of, you know, identifying, like they identify themselves with that career or whatever. So then when it's taken away from them, and I mean, I look at Valentino Rossi, ex MotoGP rider and like 9-time world champion. And I used to watch him all the time and really wanted him to win his 10th world title. And he obviously did too, because he raced into his 40s. And you know, this is one of the greatest MotoGP riders of all time. Of course, he's doing all the mobility, strength, rehab. You know, he would have a physio on call, a masseuse on call. Like, he'd be doing everything. But I guarantee you, like, he was getting off the bike right at the end of races being like, bro, man, my body, like, this, everything
hurts. Can't do it anymore. Yeah.
You know, of course, like, you know, because 20-year-olds get off the bike and it hurts, you know, like, so, you know, age obviously eventually catches up to you no matter what.
I agree.
You know, and I think with, yeah, it's hard to accept in jiu-jitsu because you feel like, oh, I shouldn't lose to this person or whatever, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, you know, like, you don't have to have an ego, but anyone who trains jiu-jitsu, like, to blue, purple belt or whatever, like, you naturally have to have a bit of competitiveness in you because the nature of the sport is competing with other people on the regular. So if you have... You know, so you have to, anyone who trains jiu-jitsu has a little bit of like, I want to win.
Yeah.
For sure. And so people don't want to lose no matter what.
The whole, why? Like, the whole jiu-jitsu ego thing, I find it incredibly, incredibly ironic. And I'm going to say something pretty controversial. Some of the most ego-driven humans I have ever met are black belts in jiu-jitsu.
Oh, really?
I know.
I'm pretty chill.
No, you are. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you have an ego, except that when there's
good enough. I'm not good enough at jiu-jitsu to have an ego, bro.
Except when there's like revenge rolls, but that's different. Yeah, no, sometimes, like, no, yeah. Totally. But I mean, I think the whole it's really ironic. I don't know if it's just me. I know a lot of fucking black belts because I've trained at a lot of different places. I've met a lot of different people just with, you know, creating content. And, you know, I know a lot of black belts and some of the best people I've ever met are black belts. And some of the people with the biggest egos are black belts and brown belts and purple belts. You know, I think the whole like, oh, leave your ego at the door. Very, very good advice, but advice that people like to espouse, but not many people in jiu-jitsu at those belt ranks actually follow. Once you get to like, you know, upper blue, purple, brown, black, you know, the ego is real. I've seen it in people's eyes, particularly as a lower belt that does well against some upper belts because of, you know, physical, many different reasons. But like, I see it in their face and in their demeanor. I've had situations where I've tapped the upper belt, and then as we've reset, they've come at me like it's fucking welts. That is ego. That is the definition of ego. I had it recently. I tapped someone and they literally came at me like a fucking crazed spider monkey. You know, and I don't know where I was going with that, but I think egos in jiu-jitsu, I think it's really, really good advice. And you hear it spoken by a lot of people, but some of the people I've seen speak that advice about, hey, leave your ego at the door. I look at them, I'm like, bro, you need to take your own advice because you have a fucking ego.
I think, I mean, can be hit and miss, right? Because then there can also be, also depends, like you could have people with no ego, but then they're training against that training partner that's the sort of like, I don't know, you always have that one person that you don't want to lose to, or you never lose to, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, competitive roles happen. It's just part of it. But yeah, I think, again, just the point I was trying to make is maybe perhaps, you know, without having an actual conversation with Dorian, like maybe it's that as well. Like maybe he hasn't let the reality sink in, especially when it comes, from a bit of time off, like he had. You know, you come back and, you know, it'd be like me if I went into full like competition mode again. I might psychologically, I would default to thinking and expecting to be able to do and perform the way I would compete and prepare for competitions when I was 25 living in Brazil.
Yeah,
and like obviously that's not going to happen. But I would be thinking that that's how I should be performed. Well, no, this is how I used to do it, and I think that's a very natural thing for people to do, right? To even if you know the logic of like, man, you're 15 years older now, like that's not how it works. You still kind of, it's not how old I am. It's how old I, you know, how old I feel.
Age is just the number. And I mean, there is some truth to that. But I mean, if you are experiencing the declines of age, I think the best thing to do is to go to your doctor, get some TRT, baby. Testosterone replacement therapy. Get on the sauce. You'd be fucking smashing people in no time. Don't worry about it.
The other point I wanted to make, though, that I think is worth considering, and just is that not the argument, but just the point of ignoring age, ignoring whether you're doing, you know, two mobility sessions and two strength sessions a week as well on top of your jiu-jitsu, and you know, you've got a nutritionist and personal chef, doesn't matter, you're doing everything. But of course, I've had multiple conversations with myself about quitting jiu-jitsu, you know, like when I think it was like, I mean, I consider myself as someone who's pursued jiu-jitsu as a career relatively low on the list of the number of surgeries I've had. I mean, I've had, I don't think 4 jiu-jitsu related surgeries is many at all, right? I would say I'm relatively low. Some people way more than some people less, but I don't think 4 is that crazy. But there were times when I was recovering from surgeries and being depressed, not being able to train, and living in a foreign country with no friends and no money, and you know, just being like, is it worth it? You know, like I've thought about quitting multiple times, you know. So I think there's definitely as well just the dialogue of when you have an injury that requires surgery. I mean, I've had injuries that haven't required surgery where the rehab has taken longer than a surgery injury, but there's something about actually having surgery that, you know, and having to have a surgeon medically intervene to fix something that kind of, you know, you can see that conversation is easily a quittable offense for people who just do it as a hobby and have fun, right?
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
You know, there's some things that just easily make it go like, well, it's not worth it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I was having the conversation, someone who pursued it as a career, you know, of course, someone who's just doing it for a bit of fun is going to be like, you know, again, they could have been doing all the mobility stuff, but injuries happen regardless. Yes. I mean, yep. Injuries, yeah, to go back to tennis, injuries happen in a non-contact sport, you know? Mm. But yeah, so I think that's worth pointing out. When it comes to, I just want to then briefly segue though, when it comes to little minor injuries and just like, let's just cover the whole don't be a bitch thing though, because...
What about actually, people that tell you like, oh, I got a sore pinky toe?
Yeah. I've had people like, although, right? Like, yeah, like when you roll your toe on the mats and like,
oh,
you
hurts.
Know, and maybe you have
it,
that sprain. Yeah. But, you know, one of our brown belts, his toe got stuck in the mats, not at the gym. He was training at a friend's house. You know this about Ollie, right?
I think I heard. Yeah.
Like his pinky toe broke completely 90 degrees out to the side. Like usually when you break a toe, right, there's nothing that can be done, particularly a pinky toe. They're just like, man, you know, it's nothing you can do. They don't put a cast on it or anything. But this was one of those ones where it had to be surgically fixed, right? It was a right angle out to the side, you know, because it got stuck in the mats. Yeah.
Tape it.
But, you know, you get a lot of people, like the people who quit for the most insignificant injuries. I'm not saying don't quit. I mean, if it's not for you, that's fine, because it isn't for everyone. But, you know, I always say something along the lines of like, man, like if you wanted to pick up skateboarding and you were expecting that, like, that you weren't going to have grazed knees and a skateboard wasn't going to hit you in the shins and you weren't going to fall over on concrete and have a, you know, a sore butt because you fell over on the concrete. Like, I mean, look at a skater. They permanently have grazed knees and elbows and, right? Like, I mean, it just kind of, you know, take up rock climbing. You're telling me you're not going to have sore fingers and cuts on your knuckles and stuff if you take up rock climbing? You take, again, take up tennis. You're telling me you won't, like, at some stage roll your ankle? Or like, you know, kind of tweak your shoulder playing tennis. Like, I mean, fuck, like those little things aren't injuries, right? They're just like, they're just sort of par for the course. And it just comes with, you know, every different sport or activity has its own little niggles that you carry with you. So people who quit for that, I don't want to actually call the individual a bitch, but I mean, perhaps yeah, the sport was never for you anyway.
That's an excuse. I've seen blue belts like get a little niggle that maybe takes 6 weeks to recover from. They take the 6 weeks off and then they never come back. It's like, oh, you know, I'm injured. And then like they had a sore rib or something. Like they popped a rib. And you're like, bro, if that was enough for you to want to quit the sport, then like you said, it was never for you. And this is just an excuse that the reality of the toughness of the sport, the fact that it is a long journey, the fact that you probably suck. If, particularly if you're, you know, at a at a fucking blue belt level or a white belt level, you know, we're not that good. We're blue belts. You know, there's black belts out there that are, you know, the goal is black belt. We're talking about blue belt anyway. And I've seen training partners that, you know, have been training longer than me take that approach, and that is the easy way out, in my opinion. But that's fine. Like, you don't have, like, it doesn't personally offend me. You don't have to train jiu-jitsu. But if you've listened to 1 hour and 8 minutes of the Beyond Jiu-Jitsu podcast, you probably fucking train jiu-jitsu. So I know that, you know, maybe there's some people out there that are like, oh, you know, I want to quit because I hurt my pinky finger. You need to look at it. It's like, is that really the reason you want to quit? Or is it some of these other issues? And weigh the pros and cons of the sport and ask yourself the real truth question. And ask yourself if you are doing strength and conditioning and mobility outside, because you probably should be.
The one that I actually kind of don't really like have much time for is when it is someone, let's say in their 40s, that maybe they like threw their back out training jiu-jitsu, for example. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they didn't come into jiu-jitsu with a bad back. That's different, right? Like, they threw their back out training jiu-jitsu or something in their 40s and they quit or whatever. Okay, I'm not messing with, there are a few joints that I don't think you should mess with, and anything that involves your spine is one of them, right?
Yep.
Yeah. However, I also kind of look at that and I'm like, man, how many 40-year-olds do you know who don't do any exercise and throw their back out because they sit at a chair all day? Like, I mean, and I said this earlier in the episode, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you do nothing. Let's take both extremes. I don't care if you do zero or if you do get David Goggins life. Shit will start breaking in your body no matter what as you get older, right? And it's kind of like that 40 age bracket is a very typical bracket for people to like maybe herniate a disc and whatever, like back problems. And so when people use that to quit, I'm kind of like, I always see it the opposite. I'm like, you're crazy to quit, bro. Like, I mean, like, you could have done that at, you know, that shit could happen. You getting out of bed, man, you could throw your back out at you. I'm not calling the people old. Like, I'm not that far off 40, but, you know, that's a bitch out.
Particularly if you're not doing some level of strength training. Like, strength training becomes so much more important as you age. And the research is very, very unequivocal support of this. Like, one of the major risks of people getting injured in their 70s is by falling over and like hurting their hip or whatever. If you do strength training, your risk of falling over is vastly reduced because of the stability. And if you do, the protective muscle around your joint will protect you from injuries, and the same concept can be applied. So I hate
by the time by the time you're in your 70s, you're going to have decades of getting taken down. So you're going to be so used to falling over.
Bro. You're going to be so stable. Like, fuck, you're going to break ball and fucking... Yeah.
That's funny, actually. Like, a little, you know, when people come from some form of other martial art that has break falling or something, and they will say, you know, like, oh, like when you're falling or getting taken down, like, you know, do you not put your hand out, like you break fall and whatever? And it's funny to answer that question because you go, well, from like a safety point of view or from a stunt performer point of view, like 100%, like you want to like, you know, distribute the impact or roll with it or whatever. But I'm like, in reality, bro, we be sticking arms out left, right, and center because you don't want to concede the points or the position, or which is why you see it very rarely. But you know, some of the old pride fights, I forget the one where the hand goes out to stop the takedown and breaks their own arm, and because people are like, man, we put our arms and legs in the wrong place, you know.
Yeah, when you post
to be mobile, right? Because you're putting in the-
or even like having the muscle to protect. But like, if you put your arm out to post against a takedown, which works, by the way, and then like your arm's in a weird position and your elbow snaps and dislocates, that's, you know, that happens.
Or you just like jack your shoulder up, right? Because your elbow's locked out. Yeah.
But yeah. I know a guy that he, in his first like few months of training jiu-jitsu, he tried to break his, like, he got swept or something and he tried to post and he tore his labrum in his shoulder, which is like a very small connective ligament, very, very rare to tear it, and he tore it completely and he still needs to get surgery. It's been like 3 years. Zach, get surgery, you bucket.
Oh, is that Come Zach? Back. Is that-
yeah, it's oh, Zach. Yeah. So this is the guy that I started training jiu-jitsu with, and yeah, he still wants to train jiu-jitsu. He just needs to get the surgery.
Right.
But it's a big ask.
Well, I think to bring it full circle and go back to Dorian's video, yeah, again, just to repeat, there's nothing at all. Dorian's video is great. It's just someone sharing their story. And, you know, I think, again, I don't disagree with anything Kieran said. Like, I think there's a slight agree to disagree with both of where we're at with, you know, like, you can make time, and whereas I think it's a little bit removed from the reality, but I don't think either of us necessarily 100% disagree with our points, but it is an individual journey. And yeah, if it's not for you, like, fuck, there's people that I look at what they put their body through and I'm like, I would never, like, there's no way I would have quit. That's, I mean, let me give you 2 seconds. Let me read this for you, right? So let me just bring it up. Let me find. It might not be super accessible anymore. I was j- just going to read, anyway, okay, well, I can't really find it, but I was just going to read off, like, some of the injuries from Travis Pastrana, like a motocross rider who, you know, is one of the greatest of all time. But it's like, if you were to read his list of injuries, man,
like fuck that.
There's no, you could tell me, oh, all you've got to do is go through that and you'll go down in history as one of the greatest motocross riders in the history of the sport. I'll be like, yeah, I'm good. Right? He's like broken his back 3 times and like 18 shoulder surgeries and like, man, like absurd. And so if it's not for you, that's fine. You know, like, but yeah, again, Dorian's video wasn't saying like jiu-jitsu is bad for your body and don't do it. He was just sharing his story.
Yeah. Yeah. And I watch the video. And I think one thing I was thinking about earlier, I kind of knew that we're going to have these different approaches because on one hand, like at the end of the day, people probably know this by now. I'm a strength and conditioning coach for jiu-jitsu athletes. So that is going to be where I push people toward because I see it day in, day out, like the hundreds of people that have followed my programs and have had success. So I see it. So I like, it's like screaming up against the wall. Whereas from your perspective, you have seen thousands and thousands of students come through and train jiu-jitsu with you. So from that perspective, it's like I see no one but people that need strength and conditioning and mobility. And you see like the
people who also need it, but yes.
Yeah, but you see a wider array of humans. Because people that come to me, yeah, they need it, but they've already decided that they need it and they're going to do it. You know what I mean? It's different. I don't spend my time talking to people that haven't been sold on the idea. You know? I talk to people, I'm preaching to the converted. So it seems like a no-brainer. Whereas you're meeting like people from all walks of life, but you're meeting more of the average jiu-jitsu practitioner. So you have a different perspective. And you know, my motivation is to get people into the gym so they can train jiu-jitsu. Your motivation is to just get people to train jiu-jitsu. Because so many people are just like, you know, they start it, but then they're only doing one every other week, and you're like, bro, fucking, what are you doing? You know, so it's.
You're like the dude who runs AA meetings, but it's like, yeah, you only get to talk to the dudes who already decided to show up to the meeting, bro. Like, yeah, you don't get to talk to all the alcoholics who have no interest in coming to see you.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Like,
All right. Well, to finish off, let's go on to our little tidbit section. I've got for you, so this is not really a today I learned because it's 2 weeks old. It's from the 4th of August. So it's old news for people who are super current and stay really up to date with jiu-jitsu media and follow all the competitions and stuff. But
well, here we go.
I'm sure we have a few listeners who don't. And I just wanted to bring up the Ty Rotolo's match at ONE Championship. It was ONE Fight Night 13. Back on August 4th. Are you familiar with this? Did you follow this? Watch it?
Nope. Sure.
So Ty, in a, you know, submission grappling match, got two submissions in the one fight.
Oh, I did see this. Yeah, that pissed me off so much.
From which point of view?
From the fact that he clearly fucking tapped.
Exactly, yeah. So for those who don't know, Ty fought in this match and... you know, went relatively quickly, caught the guy in an outside heel hook, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And the guy,
he clearly tapped.
Like, I mean, he did, it wasn't like tap, 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 but he did a pretty clear, like, tap on Ty's butt and Ty let go. And then the guy straight away kind of was like, well, I didn't tap and the ref didn't stop it, you know, because it's, I mean, 99% of jiu-jitsu fighters and jiu-jitsu competitions, people just stop when the tap happens. It's not UFC where you go till a ref physically pulls you off, right?
Yep.
Yeah, of course, you'll find some dickhead competitors who treat it that way, but 99% of the time, that's...
Dickhead competitors.
That's not how it plays out. Yep. And then so as soon as the guy was like, I didn't tap and the ref didn't stop it, Ty was like, okay, and just like jumped back on top of him straight away, took his back and then choked him out. Didn't choke him out unconscious.
It's ridiculous. Like, but just, he, you know. You see his hand, like if you watch the video, you see the guy look at his heel, look at his knee, like, oh my God, it's about to break. One hand clearly tap on the glute, on his butt.
So for anyone who wants to watch it, just type in Ty Rotolo taps Daggy. Daggy
twice.
Arslan Aliyev twice, or type Tairotolo taps opponent twice. You'll get a little 1 minute video of it.
And I mean, we've seen this sort of stuff happen before. Happens in the UFC all the time. Like, you know, that's why people crank on shit, you know, and you don't need to. Not in jiu-jitsu, man. We're not doing MMA. But speaking of MMA, my today I learned is very similar. And this is more of a, I think that everyone knows about this so far, but I just want to bring it up because we haven't spoken about it. Elon Musk versus Mark Zuckerberg.
we haven't spoken about this at all. No.
So I wanted to bring it up because the latest is that Mark Zuckerberg is saying that Elon Musk isn't serious about it, which I think is pretty obvious with like all of Elon's crazy demands, and Elon's playing a game and Mark Zuckerberg's like, no, seriously, I want to fight you. The latest is Mark's statements on it is not holding my breath for Elon, but I'll share the details of my next fight when I'm ready. So he released a statement on Threads, which is Instagram's version of Twitter, saying that Elon's clearly not serious about it. Mark wants to make it happen. Mark's given the dates he's available to Dana, like, you know, and Elon's responses are just stupid and insane, and like clearly he's just playing games. But Mark Zuckerberg is going to have another fight in MMA with obviously, you know, a similar style of opponent. It's not going to be an MMA fight. It will be like, you know, another celebrity or whatever for another celebrity fucking matchup. But I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts of, first of all, Mark Zuckerberg training jiu-jitsu? And second of all, what are your thoughts on, you know, Zuck getting in and doing MMA against Elon or anything surrounding this?
I mean, like, I guess I'm happy for the more people training jiu-jitsu, the better. That's cool. I mean, I would be rather upset if I saw that it was like Mark Zuckerberg's on the next Who's Number One card or something, just because Flow Grappling want to make money or something. I'd be like, that's quite disgusting. But in terms of him doing like a celebrity fight and all that sort of stuff, like, I don't have any tolerance for trash talk and all that stuff, I don't get starstruck. I don't really care for celebrities. I'm just like, people are people. So for me, watching Mark Zuckerberg fight Elon Musk is kind of no different to me watching two white belts fight at a tournament, right? They're just people, and they, you know, I personally don't care. It doesn't interest me. But in terms of it, from what I read, it was going to be like the money was going to go to charity or something.
Yeah.
With that tagged onto the end, like, I'm all for it, right? That's great. But in terms of just like, do I care to watch it? Like, I couldn't care less. It doesn't.
Bro, take my money. Take my money. I would fucking pay untold amount of money to see that fight. You have no idea. I'm all for it, man. When I saw that it was like might be a reality, I obviously had that suspicion, like, oh really, they're not actually going to, I wouldn't believe it until they're both in the cage. But when I had that like initial, hey, this might be a thing, I was so fucking excited. I would love to see two old rich dudes just fucking swinging haymakers and fighting out of the UFC. That would be so funny. It would be so awesome though. I'm all for it. Now, what do I think of Mark Zuckerberg taking on another opponent? I mean, sure, like, cool. At that point, it might be a little bit more like a, like you said, like two white belts going at it at a local tournament. It would be similar to that because he's only been training for like, you know, by the time he takes a fight, probably 2 years. So do I think, am I that interested? Depends on who his opponent is.
No, from a marketing point of view, it would have to be another celebrity.
Yeah, you know, and like, even then, it depends on the celebrity. Like, it would have to be some sort of beef. I mean, the fact that the whole thing with the Zuckerberg versus Elon is two of the richest dudes in the world having online beef and then actually fighting. What's not to love? That's like a movie fucking script right there. What's not to love, man? And the money going to charity, it's on UFC. I don't know. I think that it was fucking awesome, and so many memes would come from it. It would just be great. It'd be great for everyone involved. But I mean, I'm so disappointed that Elon's bitch. But Elon's so much older. Elon is so much older than Mark. Mark is like in his late 30s, and Elon's like in his 50s. The age disparity.
Big difference.
I mean, shit.
And Mark, people go, "Oh, Elon's heavier," but like, I don't think it.
Dude, he's fatter.
You know, like it's.
Zuckerberg's been training. He's, you know.
Either way, I mean, it might be quality entertainment, but I would be a stretch to say it would be quality combat sports.
Oh, God, sure. No. It'd be hilarious. It'd be terrible. Can you imagine Elon Musk, like, coming out and, like, trying to kick Mark Zuckerberg in the head? It's like, this is old, terrible. Fucking old fat rich dude. I love Elon, by the way. I love both of them. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, well. With that, guys, yeah, I would be curious to hear your thoughts. Honestly, send us. I would actually think most people. I would say that I'm probably in the minority in this case. Definitely. I think most people would enjoy to see it. So feel free to tell me that I'm boring. That's cool. But guys, yeah, we've coming up. It's only four episodes away. Episode 150 will be our next Q&A episode. So please submit your questions. Right. Yeah, by the time you listen to this episode, it's really only going to be like 3 weeks away at a max from us recording that episode. So send it through, go to our Instagram at @BeyondJujitsu_podcast. The link tree's there. You can go to, what's it called? Sorry. The link is, I forget the name of the actual link, but it takes you to submit an audio question. Then your question will be played on the podcast and we'll answer it. So please send those through and we'll hope to get to it.
And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. Later.